a good motto for us to close out 2017 and throughout the coming year. I can and I will. A lot of people don't, either because they won't or they think I can't. 10 spies in the Old Testament said we can't, and they didn't. 2 with another spirit said we can, and they did. Paul said I can, and he did. Writing the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'd like for us to put those two words in our vocabulary today. I can. Too many set themselves up for failure, thinking, even saying, I can't. Because Paul said, I can. We could read those words in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. I have finished. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's been said success or failure is caused more by the mental attitude even than by mental capacities. It is your attitude more than your aptitude that will determine your altitude. The man who thinks he can. Is that you? If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win but think you can't, it's almost a cinch, you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out in the world we find success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you ever can win a prize. Life's battle doesn't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Somebody said that it couldn't be done. But he, with a chuckle, replied that maybe it couldn't. But he would be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with the trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done. And he did it. Somebody scoffed. Oh, you'll never do that. At least no one has ever done it. But he took off his coat, and he took off his hat, and the first thing we knew, he'd begun it. With a lift of his chin and a bit of a grin, without any doubting or quit it, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done. And you'll do it. It takes determination. And I'm capitalizing on these four words to point out some areas in which all of us need to say, I can. And I will, first of all. I can and I will lay aside every weight. Do you have any weight you need to lay aside? After commenting on Hebrews 11, faithful people, in chapter 12, the writer says in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He likens your life to a race. If you run a race, you don't want to be burdened with weight, do you? In training, some will add weight. In fact, just this morning, I saw a fellow on a treadmill with a weighted vest. Can you imagine wearing one of those devices at the starting line of a marathon and trying to run and cross the finish line, carrying all that extra weight? What would you do with that weighted vest? Lay it aside. When he talks about every weight, that suggests any burdensome load. We've got to rid ourselves of every encumbrance to faithful service. We need to identify those things in our lives that are weighing us down, that are bogging us down. Whatever it is that would make your life more difficult as a Christian, you need to get rid of it. Lay it aside. And say, I can and I will lay aside every weight. But then again, I can and I will overcome temptation. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. A good way to help yourself overcome temptation is through prayer. In the model prayer in Matthew 6 and verse 13, Jesus taught, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That'd be a good prayer, wouldn't it? How long has it been since you prayed for help to overcome temptation? Remember the words of Paul to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Temptation is common. It's common in that all men are tempted, and tempted the same way, through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. 1 John 2 and verse 16. Somebody says, you don't know what I'm going through. Every man is tempted. But God is faithful. Listen to these words. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able? Somebody says the temptation was just too much. You're saying God's not faithful. You're indicting God's character when you say that. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. With every temptation comes an escape route. We have to look for it. And sometimes flight offers that means of escape. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. And as Joseph, who fled and got him out, back in the book of Genesis, in chapter 39. In the book of James 1 and verse 12, James addressing scattered servants said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You're going to be tempted. Jesus was. Matthew 4. Three times. And he overcame temptation, resisted the devil by hiding the word in his heart. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written, and quoted scripture. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I can and I will overcome temptation. But in addition to that, I can and I will read my Bible every day. I believe a good goal, a noble objective. I get a little chronicle from some brethren, dear friends of ours, at this time of year, who live in Alabama. Kindly inform us of goings-on in the family. And in his chronicle, each day. Maybe when you get up of a morning, or as you lie down of an evening, start by just reading one chapter. a chapter of a morning, and he said, next thing you know, you might find it so interesting you've read several chapters. A chapter a day is a noble goal, isn't it? And it says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Why search the scriptures daily? Why read this book every day? So I can know. John 8 and verse 32 finds the Lord saying, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How can I know if I don't read? And so read daily to know. Read daily to grow. God expects his children, as you would expect yours, to grow. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow. And it takes nutrients. This book contains those vital nutrients. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Some of us may have stunted growth because of a failure to read. And so read to know, read to grow, and read to glow. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Jesus portrays his disciples as the light of the world. And as the psalmist said in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so it provides illumination. Read. Say, I can and I will read the Bible daily so I can know, so I can grow, and so I can glow as a child of God should. But then as I think about this expression, I can and I will, how about applying this when it comes to teaching others? The Lord expects me to teach what I've been taught. Hebrews 5:12 affirms that. When the writer said, for when for the time ye ought to be, what's the next word? You ought to be what? Teachers. You ought to be teachers. He's really reprimanding these people because of their failure to develop and mature spiritually. I learned from that evidently there is a time after I've obeyed the gospel when the Lord expects me to have developed to the point that I can teach somebody else. But they hadn't done that. He said, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. What would you think of a person who's now 21 years old and they're still on the bottle? Something wrong there, right? They hadn't grown, hadn't developed. And that's how some are spiritually. They're still in need of milk. They hadn't gone on to meat. And that's reflected in our failure to teach others. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to do what? Teach others also. We've got to do that. There are a lot of things you can do for others. But the greatest thing you'll ever do for others is to teach them the truth. The word which is able to save their soul. James 1:21. In Matthew 28:19 through 20. One thing that helps me to say I can and I will teach others is when the Lord commissioned his apostles, go ye therefore, teach, and lo, I'm with you always, even on the end of the world. The Lord's promised to be with us. And so that sways all fears, doesn't it? Be an Andrew. Find your brother and bring him to Jesus. John 1, 40-42. Be an Anna. Speak of Jesus to those looking for redemption. Luke 2, 36-38. This widow of about 84 years spake of him. Say, I can and I will. Be a Samaritan woman who, when she found the Messiah for whom she had been looking and waiting, who offered her living water, she left her well pot and ran into the city and said to the man of the city, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? They came. And many of the Samaritans believed on him for the saying of the woman. Read all about it, John 4, 28 to 30 and verse 39. Be a Cornelius. Remember him? He's told, send for Peter. Why send for Peter? Who shall tell thee words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? And so Peter gets there, and it's just Peter sitting there by himself on a lonely bench. No. Guess who he had called together? His kinsmen and near friends. You have any kinsmen in this area? You have any family? Parents? Children? Cousins, aunt, somebody who needs to hear those words that Peter would tell Cornelius and his kinsmen? What about near friends? You need some near friends, don't you? How much of a friend are you to them, really? If you don't call them to hear words whereby they could be saved. Oh, we might call them for other things, right? How long has it been since we issued a call for them to come hear the truth? And so here's a man who wasn't even a Christian at the time, who sent for a preacher, and he's called together his family and his friends to hear the Lord's word. Think what that would do for a local church if every family would be a Cornelius. Send for a preacher. Here am I, send me. Invite your friends and your family. And we'll just talk to them about those words that Peter would report to those people so they can be saved. I can and I will teach others. But there's another area. It may be that there are those in this audience today who have not yet obeyed the gospel. How about I can and I will obey the gospel? There's a great need for you to do that. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you, have you done that? If not, you're not going to be saved. Isn't that what the passage says? Whosoever, that means you and everybody else, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Either you've done that or you haven't. Do you want to be saved? Then you need to do that, whatever that involves. Now, a lot of people are misinformed as to what's necessary to call on the name of the Lord. There's no need to be misinformed because he tells us exactly how to do that. Listen to this. Read along with me. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. And so what's involved in calling upon the name of the Lord so as to be saved? Hearing gospel preaching, believing, and obeying the gospel. You can do that. Well, you don't know my background. You don't know what I've been involved in. I've been too bad. There's no way I can do that. Have you been worse than Saul? He murdered people. You done that? When Stephen was being put to death, he was consenting under his death. He held the clothes, in fact. Acts 7 and 8. He made havoc of the church. And yet in 1 Timothy 1:15 he said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. Paul didn't say I can't or I won't. I can, I will, and so he did. And so can you. Obey the gospel just like he did. He's told when he asked the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Arise and go in the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And so, The telling came through human agency. Ananias was the messenger. Acts 22:16. And I said, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 9:18 tells us straightway he did it. He was baptized. What about you? You need to do that. As you hear the word of God, believe it with all of your heart. Make the changes that are necessary in your life through repentance. Confess your faith in the Son of God like the Ethiopian who said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Acts 8:37. Be baptized. As Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. And we're here to help you do that. It'll never be any easier for you. You'll not find anybody better to encourage you than the Lord's people. And so say, "I can and I will." Another area I want to talk to you about. I can and I will be faithful. Some people become unfaithful because they have a bad attitude. I can't. They lack determination. You know why Hebrews 11 people all died in faith? Because they didn't think, "I can't." They didn't say, "I won't." You think it was easy for Noah? You think, "Man, it's awful hard today. So many wicked people in this world. Is it worse than it was in the days of Noah?" While the ark was preparing, how many folks were saved? Eight. God said, "Thee have I found righteous before me in this generation." Genesis 7:1. Thee. Here's a man and his family, nobody else at that time that I know of. Do you know of anybody else? And look around you today. You're not the only one here today. You're not the only family here today. And so don't think that it's too tough. It's too difficult. The people are too bad. I can't. I can and I will be faithful. If Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and all these other people could do it, you can too. And in Revelation 2 and verse 10, the Lord said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." Finally. And we could talk till midnight about this, couldn't we? Because there's so many other areas we could explore. I can and I will say, I have sinned. We must own our mistakes. Don't hide it. Don't try to blame somebody else for it. Just admit it. Just have the courage to say, like the prodigal, who came to himself and came to his father and said, as recorded in Luke 15, "I have sinned." The father is waiting for him. He saw him while he was a ways off, didn't he? And he said, "What do you think you're doing coming home? Don't you know better than that? You wasted my substance. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Cut your little place out there in the barn." You know what he did? No. Put the best robe on him. Shoes on his feet and a ring on his finger. And he said, "Bring the fatted calf. Provide the very best for him." He said, "Let's eat and be merry. This my son was dead and is alive again." Can you do that? Sure we can. John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John 1:9. Don't say, "I can't," or "I won't." Say, "I can." And with the Lord's help, you will. You've been a good audience, as always. Appreciate the good way that you've listened. May we put these four words into practice in our daily lives to help us be successful spiritually. If you're not a child of God, you can be. Everything is ready. If you've fallen, you're not as faithful as you need to be, resolve to be better and to do better. If you need to say, "I have sinned," and have an interest in our prayers, We're happy to do that. While we stand and sing, we cordially invite you to come.